Let us now turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, these words assume that there is something that we need strength for. And that something is the war against sin. This is the reality of the Christian life. Sometimes we speak about the Christian life as a battle. But I fear that that really doesn't describe the Christian life. Battles tend to be fairly short. Christian life is a war. It goes on all the time. There are many battles, but the war never ends as long as we are in this life. Because of the reality of that war, we as Christians need strength. The war we are engaged in is the hardest war of all. There is no physical war that is as hard as the spiritual warfare in which the Christian is involved. The problem with this war, of course, is that the enemy is not just out there firing his darts inwards. There is that. But the great problem with this war that makes it so hard and so difficult is that the enemy is also inside. That's where he is really difficult to fight. There is where we need the greatest strength in order to fight this war. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The fact of the matter is that Satan attacks from every possible angle. He exploits every avenue, every open door. He is right in there to fight against the Christian. He attacks from outside. But he is also able to insert thoughts into the mind and heart of the Christian. Some think that once they become Christians, that life becomes just easy and wonderful. And some of them behave as if for them the world is now a playground. Not so. That idea is completely unbiblical. That is not to say that there are not many blessings and many reasons for happiness and for joy in the Christian life. So many, in fact, that there is no Christian who would exchange their state and their position as believers for the position of those who are not believers and who are still in the world. Now, one or two points. First of all, this war is our war. Now look, what do I mean by that? I think this is of the greatest importance. We realize that there is a sense in which this is not the Lord's war. The Lord's war is over. He has fought. He has triumphed. And all his travail is behind him. He has now entered into his rest. He is seated at the right hand. And he is not warring anymore. His warfare is behind him. And until we join him in his rest, there will be no rest for us from this warfare in which we are involved. Notice it does not say, leave the war to the Lord. Leave it all to him. You don't need to do anything. It addresses you and me. And it says, be strong in the Lord. You be strong. And me, be strong in the Lord. Now that's what I mean. When I say, this is our war. And that's what I mean when I say that there is a sense in which this is not the Lord's war, but ours. There is no place here for a laid back Christianity. There's a term very often used by the young today, the word cold. And I do worry sometimes when I ask young Christians, how are you doing? How is it with you? And the answer, cold. I do worry. I'm a little bit uneasy about that. Can a Christian have such a respite from this war that he can be just cold, laid back, and all the things that that means? I don't think so. The call here is to be strong. You and I must summon all our strength. Every single ounce of strength that we can summon, we must summon it, and we need it all for this battle. Yes, I know it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But the call here is, please note, it is to you and to me. To you and to me, be strong. That is the call, and it's a call to us to rise to this battle with all our strength and to fight this battle, this war, I should say, to fight it to the end. Not to look for rest until we enter into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Summon all your resources. And it will require all our resources. All our mettle. All our grit. All our determination. All our will. We need to gather all these things together. All our strength, all our courage. Because this war demands it all. No war requires so much as this one. Some face guns and bombs and all kinds of traps, booby traps, all day long. For some, that is just a way of life. Yet these same people cave in before the flesh. These same people can be very, very brave and very courageous against the bombs and the guns. But when it comes to temptation, they're nowhere. They're completely overcome. They have no strength. This is the war that requires the greatest strength that man can summon. You need to be strong and you need to be courageous. When the Lord was giving, first of all, when Moses was speaking to Joshua and giving him his advice, the end of the book of Deuteronomy, he says to him, be strong and very courageous. When in the book of Joshua, God addresses Joshua himself, in chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 9, and 18, the same words again and again, be strong and very courageous. Joshua was to go up and possess the land. There is a land for a Christian to go up and possess. There is a war to be fought and a war to be won. And we need to be strong and very courageous. I emphasize again, this is our war. We must fight it. Secondly, this war requires all our strength and more. Even if you summon every single ounce of resource that you have, it will not be enough in this war. We face a vicious onslaught on all fronts. Unless we simply take a middle way, unless we take the path of least resistance, unless we avoid the confrontations with temptation, then we will face a vicious onslaught on many fronts. We are up against one who is a master of cunning. One who from the very beginning, when he was, as it were, personalized in the serpent, was described as more subtle than any beast of the field. He is subtle. If he cannot get you into a place where he can control you and make you an empty and useless force in this war, then let me tell you, you will be under serious attack from this enemy. We hear about the sound of war. Words come to mind for all day long, the noise of that road. But this war is a silent war. There is no noise. Nobody knows it's going on. There is no sort of something to show or to show off. Cannot say to somebody, come and see my exploits in this war. Come and see what I've done. come and see my victories. Or even come and see my defeats. This is a silent war, and it has to be fought in silence. And that makes it all the harder. But we have more strength than our own. I said we require more strength than all that we have. And I'm saying to you, we have that extra strength. Massive, mighty power is there for us. Be strong. You be strong. And I have to be strong and very courageous. But it is be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It does not say be strong, working side by side with the Lord. It doesn't say be strong, collaborating with the Lord. The careful note of what exactly it says, it is be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The foundation of the strength and the foundation of victory in this war is not in a sort of a cooperation with the Lord. It has its root and fountain and outflow in the special relationship that there is between us and the Lord. That relationship is already there if we are believers. And that relationship is not just one of side-by-sideness or being side-by-side in the yoke or in any way cooperating with one another. That relationship is a relationship of in-ness. Now that is so important in the Christian life. That little word in is so overwhelmingly important. The relationship is one of in-ness. The special relationship is in the Lord. Now this means, of course, that only the truly saved can have this extra strength. Only those who are in Jesus Christ and in that special relationship, in that inness, there is for them all the extra strength that they need. So it is our war requiring all our resources, all our strength and all our courage and fortitude and bravery. But requires more than all that put together. But that more is there for us already in our special relationship with Jesus Christ. Only the saved can have the more strength. But all the saved without exception can have it. If they are in Christ, then they have the strength. This extra strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And thirdly, even in the Lord, it requires that we put on the whole armor of God. And notice the emphasis here that Paul puts on this. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And again in verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This requires all our strength. It requires the extra strength that is in the Lord, and even then it requires that we take to ourselves the whole armor of God. God has provided a suit of armor for the believer. Armor is no use if there are pieces missing. Every piece must be there and all overlapping, so that there are no gaps. So Paul here, he expounds all the parts of this armor. Now you know these things as well as I do, but we need to get back to them. We need to read these words again and again and again, and ensure that we are actually wearing the armor of God. That we have the protection that He has provided for us. Every single part of it. The reason is that we need it all. There is no harder war than this war. It takes everything that is in you of strength and courage. It takes over and above that the strength that is there for you in the Lord. Even over and above that, it requires that we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There is the armor. You know it. You know it all. I'm sure there are many of you who can rhyme it off by heart. That is what you need to put on. then and then only will we have any hope of standing in the evil day. Not only to stand in the evil day, but to triumph in that evil day. Having done all to stand. Having waged the war and still be standing. Let us be strong. Let us be courageous. Let us not be those who take an easy way out, who make accommodations, and whom Satan doesn't bother very much, because they are no threat to him. Let us not be as those. Let us not choose that way. But let us choose the way of warfare. The way that pleases God. Let us be strong and very courageous. Let us go up and possess the land. As God said to the Israelites, I have given it to you. It is yours. You go up and possess it. That is what we need. Not accommodating. Not staying on this side of Jordan. But going over there, going up and possessing the land. Fighting the war. Until the end. Let us be strong. Let us fight this war. Let us take the strength. Let us draw on the strength of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Of our in Christness. That is the source and fountain of strength. We need that strength. And let us also take the armor that God has provided for us. And let us go forward and fight to the end. Endure to the end. Oh, how the church needs warriors. How the church seems to be so spiritually powerless. How I feel myself so spiritually powerless. How we need to get into this war. To seek to make a difference in this church. Let us pray. Our gracious God, sometimes we feel so insignificant in the great war that is going on. Sometimes we feel so feeble and so ineffective. And sometimes, Lord, we realize that it is our own fault. Pray that thou wilt enable us, Lord, to go forward and to be mighty instruments in thy hand for the good of thy church, for the glory of thy name, and for thine ultimate glory. When thou wilt gather thy people, grant, Lord, that we might not only finish our course, but that we might finish it with joy. That we might one day hear the words, "Enter in, good and faithful servant, into the joy of thy Lord." In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.